This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and it is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Visit Better at better.app, download it, and sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit necessary. Also, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Big program forthcoming per usual. We will recap week number 7, the pickage. It's been a kind of a rough couple of weeks for the propage, but we do have some positives coming out of the week. We'll do a little recap. We'll catch you up on what I see as like my top lessons learned from the week. Some positive, some Buzz Killian, if you will. We're going to be a negative Nelly on some fronts. We do have a doubleheader tonight, though, and a lot of action in the NFL. We got doubleheaders every Monday now, it seems, and we've got an early game every Sunday. I guess we don't next week, but it's been a little busier than usual. We'll check in with our guy, Tom Brawley, see what he has cooking. Spoiler alert, we are in unison on two props tonight. I will also pop out my props, and whenever I have a lot of props on a Monday, it probably means that Sunday was a little frustrating for yours truly. Now, let's start with the good news. We are now 7-0 on Friday Best Bets. So we thank Jordan Addison. I was very confident about that on Friday. I also came on the VSiN tailgate show and had a bunch of running backs that were, I guess, hit or miss. But I always try on Sunday to isolate a guy. And I say this lately every week. I'm trying to find people that you don't have to sweat it. Like, we're going to win this puppy easily. That's what I'm looking for, especially on a Sunday. And that pretty much was the case with Jordan Addison. I don't think he hit it at the half, but he had a beautiful 30-yarder second play of the game. I'm like, yeah, we're going to hit this puppy over 41.5. So we beat that by what, like 400%? So once again, thank you, Jordan Addison. We are pretty much going to have a successful year on these best bets. You could argue it's the most important thing we do. If we're going to do one bet every week for the upcoming Sunday, we're 7-0 now. I think I need to go really bad. I think I need a 25% winning percentage. I think if I got a 25% winning percentage going forward, we'd still be profitable. So we're going to try and stay humble on that one and see if we can get to like 75% on the season, because we're not at 75% on the propage. So let's review that. Some of these I just chalk up to sports and football. You know, here's why I usually don't go in on big numbers. Quinshon Judkins, we lost it by 5. What are you going to do? The guy scored 3 tutties. He got 25 carries. They got their asses kicked, did the Dolphins, as expected. The weather, I guess, slowed him down a little bit. Of course, didn't slow him down on that 45-yard touchdown run. I thought we were in, but we were not. Bijan, hey, wasn't a great pick, quite frankly. I went with the schematic matchup. That didn't work out. We get the Dobbins and Olave correct. Now this Trey Tucker one really sticks in my craw a little bit. I need to find, this is where I'm kind of stuck, because I can't take big name players because they don't come through for me, like Saquon Barkley and Bijan Robinson. Bijan did come through last week. But then I look at lower end guys, and they're lower end guys for a reason. But, we won the Ashton Jeanty prop. I mean, that was easy peasy, right? So you think correspondingly, let's go with the number one receiver for Geno Smith. And he led the team in targets. I'm trying to find the damn box score. There it is. Of course, led the team in targets, 5 grabs, and we don't get it. The other one that was really frustrating was Troy Franklin. I mean, come on, bruh. You get 10 targets? and you can't turn that into 31 yards, dude. Come on. Come on. So very frustrating Sunday in that regard. And Kyren, I mean, these are all kind of close, quite frankly. Kyren only missed by 3 yards, 4 yards. If the Jags didn't suck as bad as they do, then, you know, they would have put up a better fight and we probably would have hit. But woulda, coulda, shoulda, we are only 40% on the top 10. Number one, I'm eliminating the top 10. I'll go 11, I'll go 9. 10 is it's bad juju ever since we got really cocky last year. So that's number one. And number two, when we don't have a good Sunday, what do? Just like last week, I vowed vengeance on the sports books, and I got them. Last week, we went 5-2 on a Monday. Well, we're even upping the ante. We got 9, okay? We got 9, and we're going to go 7-2. Let's go into the lessons learned. We're still over 500 on all the props, so that's good. And we tried out a couple of low end touchdown props, and neither hit. And my producer Michael Cohen made a good suggestion. Let's remove the Jets from the equation. Yeah, let's just do that. I thought Mason Taylor would do something. He actually had a decent game. But my lessons learned from week 7, real quick. Number one, and not in any particular order, but the Bears are a fantasy wasteland. I know there are seasons within a season. Might be singing another tune in a month. DeAndre Swift's the only guy that we've been able to trust lately. And I say go out there and sell DeAndre Swift. A couple of upcoming good matchups, but I'm not buying it. They're going to start playing tougher teams. They'll be playing from behind. You know, when DJ Moore, who we thought was kind of a dead man walking, is he's your leading receiver. I mean, we got problems here. We're spreading the ball around to a bunch of dudes who should be getting love, like Colston Loveland and Burden, the rookie, and Roma Dunze, but there's just not enough production to go around. Over for the Saints, Olave, Mr. Expected Points. He finally comes through. I lost a prop on Alvin Kamara. We looked like we were good to go last couple of games with Kamara in the passing game. Bears giving up all kinds of production. Nah, didn't work. Had 3 targets, 1 yard. Next up, the Chiefs are back. And I kind of felt like this was coming. This summer, kind of intimated in an article of mine where I talk about like players I'm going to be targeting. And the reason I didn't go all in on Mahomes is I was a year too early on all this last year. I thought this was going to happen last year, and it didn't. But I had heard, and I passed it along a million times from multiple people, that they were sick of it all off season. The Super Bowl loss, they were going to start chucking it down the field. They bring in Tyquan Thornton. I'm like, all right, I see it. And you know, they're doing that basically. And Mahomes is really racking up the fantasy production. He continues to run. The one buzzkill, because we all knew Rice, and I'm glad I didn't go on the Rice prop because the catch prop was too high. I thought he would be getting 5-6 balls for sure, but the yardage prop I thought was a little tad too high, and he did not hit it, 42. So they're spreading the ball around. I almost seriously took a Worthy prop. That didn't hit. So, Kelsey yardage hit, but I don't think the catches did. So it is another super spreader offense, but it's great news for Patty Mahomes. And we discussed the Raiders. I was saying last week, trade Ashton Jeanty. Moving on, the Vikings are back to Viking. And they're hanging on by a thread. It's been bad. It's just been awful. Once again, thank you to Jordan Addison, though. And Jefferson's doing all right. Of course, he dropped a touchdown pass. Should have had it. He had the Hockenson touchdown call, no call. I don't even know what a catch is anymore. Nobody does. The definition has been altered so many times. We literally do not know what a catch is. I've been watching football for 55 years. I don't know what a catch is, okay? So, but the Vikings are in trouble, and now we're hearing our guy Adam Schefter stating that J.J. McCarthy, maybe the injury is real, and he does need a full 6 weeks, so we might not get J.J. McCarthy back for a little while. But speaking as a fan, I would say this. We'd rather take our lumps with J.J. I don't care if we win another game. Just play him. Because I'd rather that and let him get the reps that he clearly needs than try to win with Carson Wentz. Because we're not winning anything with Carson Wentz. And I don't regret losing Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold's not going to win a Super Bowl. That's my prediction. If he does, I'll apologize. If he makes it to a Super Bowl, I will apologize. Next up, I'd love to avoid the Packers, and I'd love to have a time machine and stop saying good things about Jordan Love. Quite frankly, the last 2 years, I've been, you know, into him for fantasy. I do think he's talented, very talented. But this offense, I don't know what it is. They just can't dominate anyone in any way. Cumulatively, holistically, they're good. They're a very good team, but they just can't really dominate in any one area. I guess the one area would be Tucker Kraft, who I saw a stat today from our guy Ryan Heath. Every week, there's only three of them where he's not on the injury report. He gets it done. But, you know, Dobbs has a solid day. Major trust issues, though. We're going to get Christian Watson back soon. And then finally, DC is falling off a Cliff Kingsbury. And not all their fault, not Cliff's fault, but too many injuries. Now Jaden Daniels is hurt. It's just kind of spiraling out of control. We'll see if Daniels misses some time. Mariota isn't very good. When, you know, your savior and go-to guy is Zach Ertz, who is in football years like 50 years old, we are probably in some trouble. But not in Dallas, by the way. I mean, it is a fantasy football bonanza in Big D. Watching my guy Javonte Williams. Maybe it was the white uniforms. You know who he reminded me of? My other guy, Jonathan Taylor. They looked very similar this past week. Javonte out there averaging 6 yards per carry. Just getting started here. Let's talk data for the Monday night doubleheader next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. By the way, I did fail to mention, in addition to having 9 props tonight because I'm ticked off, we have been doing pretty well on specials and tutties. Like, we had the Noah Fant tutty. That was like a plus 370 or maybe even more on Thursday. I have one tonight. I'm feeling it. If it hits, I mean, it's going to be big. It is going to be big time. So stay tuned for that. How's that for a teaser? At the very end of the program, a Monday night special. I have 2 of them. And by the way, when we're not hitting the specials, we are coming this close, baby. Like, we just missed Noah Fant on Thursday, a clean sweep, 2 props, a tutty, and the special. We missed it by like 6 yards. So we're on the right track with those puppies. So stay tuned to the end of the program. Data points of note here. We start with the Bucks and the Lions. We look at the QBs, Baker Mayfield. Lions play the 6th highest rate of man coverage. Baker actually averages a poor 9.4 YPA against a man. I think part of that is not having Mike Evans, and looks like we're going to get him back. One good thing about it, though, he runs. He's like Forrest Gump against man coverage. 5 carries for 78 on only 42 dropbacks, so we might be in on a Baker rushing prop tonight. Jared Goff, the Bucs blitz at the 5th highest rate, and Goff's YPA, passer rating, completion percentage have all been better against the blitz. That's always interesting with Jared Goff, but I want to pull up a tweet that my guy Scott Barrett tweeted that, you know, we all know about the home road splits with Jared Goff. At least we've heard of it, but I didn't realize it was this pronounced real quick. Of course, I'm trying to do it live here, and Scott has tweeted like 17 different things here. And I can't even find it, but that's how bad it is. I can't find it, but it's pretty startling. Now, luckily, we're in Detroit, but it's like he's like a QB5 at home and QB26 on the road, basically. But he does handle the blitz well. So I would imagine we will have some fireworks tonight. I don't know if I'm definitely not taking 260, and I'm definitely not taking the Baker Mayfield propage, but we do have that high expected total, well over 50 points. I feel good about that. Receiving props, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I lost a prop there. I'm not in tonight. Bucks give up the ninth fewest yards per route run and the 11th fewest receiving yards per game to slot receivers. He does do very well against the blitz, though. So when they do blitz, he's kind of the hot read. Big Mike, that's a tough one here to fully back, but the Lions do run the sixth highest rate of man coverage. We don't have enough data on him, quite frankly, this year, but he's typically a guy who beats man. Depends on which man is out there, of course, but they're depleted at corner. No Terrion Arnold. Joseph, the safety, is out. Avante Maddox is out. So it is overall a pretty good spot there. But we also have all these receivers in the mix that we're just not sure about. Like, is Emeka Ebuka going? We don't know. So we're a little in the dark there. And then, you know, no Chris Godwin, that we know, but you got Tez Johnson, Cameron Johnson, and Sterling Shepard. I'm a longtime Sterling Shepard apologist, by the way, and I do have a Sterling Shepard prop that I'm in on tonight. J-Mo, a little bit of a tough call week to week. It was a slow start. But he does pretty well against the blitz. Did come on strong last week. Bucks blitz at the fifth highest rate. He averages pretty strong, 2.31 yards per route run. The Bucks also give up the fifth most receiving yards per game to outside receivers. We also show this as a very, very good schematic matchup for J-Mo, which represents a 26% boost in theory on paper going in to his fantasy points per route run. To that point, he had a solid 5 grabs for 79 in this matchup last year. The tight ends, not feeling warm and fuzzy here. The Bucks give up the 13th receiving yards per game to tight ends. Once again, though, Sam Laporta does pretty well against the blitz, averaging 3 yards per route run, which is a big number. Cade Otton's been coming on, but all of a sudden now Ebuka may play. And Big Mike is expected back. The Lions also give up the 10th fewest receptions per game. Travis Kelce did get him for 6 for 78 in this matchup last week. So Cade Otton certainly has a chance, but not gonna be in on that one. Running props, we'll skip by the receiving props for the running backs because I am in on one. But the rushing props, I am in on a receiving prop. Actually, I'm in on 2 receiving props for running backs in the game. I think you can ascertain that one of them is, in fact, Rashad White. So we'll cover that at the end of the program. I am a Rashad White apologist. Good karma, good vibes. To my point, we won a Rashad White prop last week. 1 yard. Thank you. Thank you, Rashad. He is dominating Sean Tucker, though, in snap share, carry share, route share. Lions do give up the 13th most adjusted yards before contact. Now, they are tough to run on, 7th fewest rushing yards per game. That's a good number, 51.5. That's if I were setting it, that's exactly where I would set it. So, very tough call. That's why we're not making it on the rushing prop. Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs on the ground. Not great. Bucks allow the 10th fewest yards per contact per attempt, 3rd fewest rushing yards per game. And they do give up, though, to my point, the 3rd most receiving yards per game. So I do suspect that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery will be involved in the passing attack. Quickly, next game. Boy, normally we do this in one segment. Texans, Seahawks, CJ Stroud, not good. This is bad. Seahawks ranked 13th in pressure rate. They do give up the 5th most passing yards per game, but I don't trust it. Tough spot for Stroud on the road. Thinned out receiving core. Yeah, not feeling it. No Christian Kirk. Not feeling great. Not feeling warm and fuzzy for Sam Darnold either. It's a tough spot. The Texans give up the 5th fewest passing yards per game, 5th fewest passing touchdowns per game. He does not react well to pressure, and they have one of the best pass rushes in football. Not a good spot for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Texans give up the 12th fewest receiving yards, 6th fewest yards per route run to outside receivers. He'll see a lot more of Kwame Lassiter, who's really good, but Derek Stingley's out there as well. Not a warm and fuzzy spot either for Nico Collins. Seahawks give up the 5th fewest yards per route run to outside receiver. Now, there's not a bad schematic matchup for Nico. He is averaging 2.40 yards per route run against zone, which they use at the third highest rate. Brian Thomas did get him last week for 8 grabs for 90 with a touch, but I think Stroud will struggle. And, you know, the corners on the outside are pretty good. The one thing that Seattle is shaky with is covering tight ends. So it's a good spot for Dalton Schultz, who is definitely Mr. Zone. You don't want to start him against man coverage team. He doesn't move all that well to separate. He's got to find those soft spots in the zone. The Seahawks use the third highest rate of zone. And this year he averages a very good 2.09 yards per route run against zone. And Seattle gives up the 5th most receptions per game, 9th most receiving yards per game to tight ends. Also a pretty good spot for Cooper Kupp, because when you want to throw on Houston, it's not advisable. But when you do it, you want to throw to the slot because there's 2 outside corners. Houston gives up the 11th most yards per route run to receivers lined up inside. So the man I affectionately refer to as the football nerd, Cooper Kupp, might be a factor. We're not dealing with any of these other low-end props, although Houston does give up the 9th fewest receptions per game and the 5th fewest receiving yards to tight ends. A.J. Barner is balling, but and I do think it's a tight end-friendly offense and all that, but I am just waiting for Elijah Arroyo. He is lurking, but they will throw to the tight ends, but I can't trust it. And then the running back props, we're not in, full disclosure. But Ken Walker, there is word that he'll get a few more carries or a few more looks. Houston is giving up the 7th fewest adjusted yards before contact, the 9th fewest rushing yards per game. So we are not going to go there, but we are going to chop it up with our guy Tom Brawley on the other side. But first, Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. You pick more or less than your favorite player stats. If your pick hits, you win. And right now, new users still get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, all your sports. So head to better.app, that's BETR, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to pop in that promo code VEASAN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. The Grinder, aka Tom Brawley from fantasypoints.com, will join us, see what he has cooking. 2 props we're on the same page on, so hang for it on a Monday edition of Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind Elite Soccer Analytics in the UK. Data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Starting tomorrow for the start of the NBA season, VSiN is offering a free preview of our new NBA player prop projections available for a limited time to tip off the season. VSiN.com/props is where you can explore the numbers for free. Before that preseason preview ends, head on over to VSiN.com/props. And welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, going directly to the progressive guest line for our guy Tom Brawley on the X Machine at Tom Brawley, senior writer, betting maven over at Fantasy Points. A couple of not great weeks, Tom. I'm going to vow vengeance tonight with 9 props, but how you doing?
All right. It wasn't a smash like we've had the last couple of weeks, but still 6-5 with the player props. Looking to finish, we can still get to 8-5 here tonight. I have a pair of props that I've given out on the site, and of course, came on the show on Thursday, hit both of those props. So we continue to run pretty good here on these Thursday and Monday shows, at least last week there. So hopefully we can continue that. 8-5 looks a whole lot better than like 7-6. So hopefully I pick up a couple more victories here in tonight's games.
Well, that's why I'm in on nine, because I got pinched on just multiples over here. So, I mean, the football guys, it's like, guys, you owe me. Okay. So throw me a bone. I think I'm going to do a 7-2 on that, but there are two.
All right, let's do it.
There are two. I did this last week and I did go 5-2, and I think it was really close to 6-1, but there are two that you and I are sharing the brain. Now, I've downgraded what we always say when you and I are on the same page is 80%. I did downgrade that to 75% because we have lost a couple. We've hit several, but it's only 75%, you know, so we'll have to live with that risk. But my guy,
we're 1-0 from the last show with Noah Fant. So we're 1-0 with Noah Fant from the last show. So yeah, let's go.
You know, you're only as good as your last performance, right? That's by the way, that's greatest line to utter to someone when you're competing with them and maybe they kick your ass 10 times, but you win, you pop that out. You're only as good as your last performance. Anyway, well, Rashad White's last performance, he actually hit this prop for me by 1 yard. But I'm actually, I found a 20.5. You're in over 21.5. I mean, what is it that you're seeing? Because to me, it's just simple. He's the best, one of the best pass catching backs in the league. And we've got a total of 53 and they're on the road.
Yeah, I gave this one out. This is one of the rare ones that's kind of moved against me. I usually get out ahead of line movements here. And this one has moved against me a little bit. I did give it out before. It kind of looked like I was under the impression Emeka Ebuka was not going to play. But it has, he's starting to trend in the right direction. But we still have two game time decisions with him and Mike Evans. I'm still expecting them to be less than 100%. Maybe they're not on the field to their, you know, 90% route shares that we're typically see from them. And maybe they might not be totally effective. So that's why this one has moved down a little bit. But I still really like it. He's gotten a 21 receiving yards in three straight games since Bucky got hurt. We know Rashad White is always involved in the passing game. That's actually, he's probably a better receiver than he is a runner out of the backfield. Yeah. He plays well. We're expecting them to be in a trailing game state here tonight. Detroit favored by 5.5, 6 points. So Tampa Bay might have to throw it a little bit more at the end of the game. And if we look at the route share since Bucky Irving went out, the two full games here, Rashad White is sitting at a 64% route share at the position, which is pretty massive. That's up there, getting into the Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson kind of territory in terms of route shares for running backs. So he's out there running a lot of routes. The secondary is banged up a little bit. So Detroit's usually more of a man coverage team. And that's usually bad for running backs, but they have moved more towards a zone coverage here, at least last week with the banged up secondary. They were sitting around 71% zone coverage last week. So I'm thinking that as many issues as the Lions have, that they should continue to run zone coverage here this week, which should benefit Rashad White out of the backfield, those little dump downs or, you know, anything over the middle of the field. So I like it still. We're getting a better number out there. As you said, 20.5 is out there. I'm even seeing a 19.5 out there at BetMGM. So I like Rashad White to be involved in the passing game here with all the issues that Tampa Bay is having at receiver, with the issues that Detroit's having in their secondary. They're going to play a little more conservative and try to keep everything in front of them. So I'm expecting Rashad White to be involved as a receiver.
Do you have, did you kick the tires on anything else in this game in terms of like maybe Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery or J-Mo, anything else that you considered?
Yeah, honestly, I was looking at Jahmyr Gibbs as receiving yards as well out of the backfield. This is a Buccaneers defense that gives up a lot of receiving production to running backs, but I ultimately stayed away. He hasn't been very involved as a receiver so far this year. It's been a little bit surprising to me. I think it's a lot of it has to do with just how well Jared Goff is playing. He's seeing it real well. He's willing to uncork it down the field. So it really hasn't been that much receiving production for these backs, but I would look towards both him and Monty in the passing game. I think Monty's price was about 8.5 yards. So looking at the Buccaneers, yeah, they give up a lot of receiving production to running backs. So maybe this is a week where both of those backs in Detroit get going as receivers a little bit.
Spoiler alert, I am in on one of those props that you just outlined there, and it might be the lower end one because I got some insight. I don't even remember where it came from. It may have even been watching a game back and listening to the color commentator talk about Montgomery. Something about, you know, he's actually a lot better in terms of his positioning and his footwork and the technical things that he does in the passing game than Jameer Gibbs. So I'm like, okay, yeah. So
Dan Campbell did say this past week it got a little lopsided with the touches and stuff between the two backs. So they do want to have a more balanced offense as well. So should lead to a few more routes for David Montgomery.
There it is. I've actually won a couple of David Montgomery receiving props. I think I'm like 3-0 on them because most of the time they're like 6.5 yards. We're talking with Tom Brawley on the X Machine at Tom Brawley, of course, from fantasypoints.com. And this is a little random because there's in the other game, there's a kind of a lower end player that I'm in on. And so are you. And it is the man that I affectionately refer to as the football nerd, Mr. Cooper Kupp. Generally speaking, you want to throw to slot receivers against Houston. So is that what you're saying? What else are you seeing with Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, this has been a two-year trend here with Houston. Dating back to last year, they really struggled with receivers out of the slot here. And it's continued so far into four or five games here into the season with the Texans again. So I'm looking towards the slot receiver here. Our fantasy points projections has him for about 47 receiving yards. So we got a little bit of cushion here with the 37.5 yard line that is out there. Obviously, I'm a little bit concerned here. Kupp is a player that's trending down towards the end of his career. But this is a Texans team that's coming in here off of a bye week. I do think that they probably have been grinding the tape, watching it, seeing Jackson Smith and Jigba go nuts against every team that he faces. So I think that Houston will be dialing up some, giving him a little extra attention in this game. Might have a game plan to try to slow him down. So maybe take away some of those first reads to JSN here. So maybe that opens up a couple more targets here for Cooper Kupp, who's gotten to 40 yards in two straight games. Hopefully we get a little bit more passing volume towards him. It's been a little hit or miss. He's had a couple big target games so far this year, but a couple that's just had a three or four targets. So the matchup's great here, and I think that they're going to scheme to get him open a little bit here.
Tom Brawley, a.k.a. The Grinder from FantasyPoints.com. I'm already thinking about Vikings-Chargers Thursday night football to kick off week 8. But let's get through week 7. Thanks for that, Tom. We'll talk to you on Thursday. And my official picks for the doubleheader coming at you next here on a Monday edition of Prop Points on Visa.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into cash. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit needed. And when you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play or head to better.app. Use the promo code VSiN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. And welcome back to the final segment on a Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, about ready to pop out my picks. For some reason, whenever I do like a promo where I ask a question like that, by the way, I am inclined to add to, you think you know sports? tough guy. I don't know why, but I don't do it for the actual read. But are you ready for some props? Tough guy. But here it is. We got 9 of them to hopefully rock and roll with tonight. We are, in fact, vowing vengeance. We did move to 7-0 on our best bets, but 4-6, thanks to a couple of craptastic teams and performances. And how do we cleanse ourselves? We go a little gaga here on props, but I actually like all these. So let's dive into it. And I do have 2 Monday night specials. One of them that if it hits, it will be my favorite one of all time, perhaps. But we'll start with Dalton Schultz. We're going to go over 35.5 receiving yards for Dalton Schultz. As we mentioned, he is Mr. Zone. He's actually been good this year. If you look over the game logs, I don't have that in front of me, but I believe he's got 4+ grabs like in every game. The Bucs are, they allow the 10th fewest adjusted yards before contact. Actually, no, that's the wrong data point here. They are zone heavy, and he's Mr. Zone, as I mentioned before, and they are giving against the tight ends, as I find it. They do play the 3rd highest rate of zone, and that's when you want Schultz, as I mentioned, averages an excellent 2.09 yards per route run against zone. Seattle gives up the 5th most receptions per game, 6.3, and the 9th most receiving yards. So I would be pretty shocked if he didn't get to 4 to 5 grabs. So there's that over 35.5. That's what it was. I don't think that's probably moved much. I mean, it's Dalton Schultz, for God's sakes. J-Mo, a little risky, always risky with J-Mo. But then again, when you have a total like this, you can get it on one catch if you're Jameson Williams. Over 46.5. As I mentioned, the Bucs blitz at the 5th highest rate. J-Mo is good against the blitz. 2.31 yards per route run. He's got a lot of trust. You know, he's been a little bit of a pet project for them, and, you know, he's coming along pretty well, even though he didn't really have a great September. You know, it's a long season, and he had a good game last week, so maybe he's turned a little bit of a corner. Tampa gives up the 5th most receiving yards to outside receivers. We also show this as a very good schematic matchup for J-Mo, one that we show as potentially giving him a 26% boost to his fantasy points per route run. Now, he will see a lot of Jamal Dean, who's been pretty good, but, you know, he's been beaten in the past, and J-Mo got him for 5 grabs for 79 in this matchup last year. Next up, Sterling Shepard. If you have followed me or you listen to me on Sirius for forever, I love Sterling Shepard coming out. I just thought he was so good, you know, like clean, crisp route runner, reliable. You know, availability has been a real problem, but, you know, Baker's, why wouldn't he look for him? That's his boy from college, and he's reliable. Detroit uses man coverage at a top 6 clip. He actually does very well against man, but they also do give up a lot. 73% completion rate against man, 8.12 YPA. They're all banged up in the secondary. No Kirby Joseph, no Avante Maddox, DJ Reed still out, Terrion Arnold still out. He's an outside corner. Shepard lines up inside 52% of the time. Tied for the lead in target share on the team against man. And because of the excellent route running precision, he's a great separator against man with a win rate of 31%. So I like the potential here to go over 35.5. Again, they're 5.5, 6-point road underdogs. So I think we're road underdogs with Baker Mayfield balling and dealing, and it's only 35.5 yards. So, you know, it's one of those deals. If it doesn't hit, I'm just going to chalk it up to football. Next up, Rashad White at 20.5. Lions do give up. They're tough to run on, giving up the 10th fewest rushing yards per game, but they also give up, you know, a decent amount of receiving yards. Not great, but they are, we have an expected total of 53 in the game. He's dominating Sean Tucker in snap share, and most importantly for this prop, route share at 76% to 12%. It's likely his last game filling in for Bucky. But by the way, head coach Todd Bowles basically said today that they have 2 number one running backs. And I've stated this all year because I was very high on Rashad. Of course, I'm always high on Rashad. It's one of my favorites. But I'm like, look, he's in the final year of his rookie deal. I know Bucky looks great, but Bucky's a smaller guy. If he goes down, I said it all summer. I said, Rashad's an RB1 or a great RB2, and he's right there. And they love him. Why wouldn't they? Least entitled athlete I've ever encountered. Next up, we're going to go with C.J. Stroud rushing. Just because it's going to be a struggle bus situation. And he does have 27 or more yards in four of his five games. Seattle is 13th in pressure rate. It's not good. Stroud is terrible against pressure. Everyone, most guys are. Some guys flourish under it, but most young quarterbacks are bad. He's really bad. So I think it's going to be rough. So I think he's just simply going to have to take off and run, as he's done quite a bit. And speaking of running quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, we're doing it. Even though, you know, pretty big number here at 18.5. But while he averages a poor 5 yards per attempt against man coverage, which is terrible, a lot of that is no Big Mike, it works out for him in the running game because he takes off and run. He's got at least 2 carries for 12 yards in every game. He's hit this in his first 3 games. The last time he played a team that plays as much man as the Lions do, maybe they won't here because of the injuries, he ran 4 times for 33. But look, they're 6, 5.5 point underdogs on the road. And they will play some man, I'm sure. So he'll probably take off and run. It'll be close. But we're going over. We're also going over on Cooper Kupp, as we mentioned, with the grinder Tom Brawley over 35.5. He will avoid those outstanding outside corners, Stingley and Lassiter. Houston gives up the 11th most yards per route run, 12th most receiving yards, 2 slot receivers. He has at least 3 targets in 2 catches in each game. And he's hit this in 2 of his last 3. Actually in 3 of his last 5 as well. So not a lock, but schematically and logically, it would make sense for him to be a more of a factor in this game. Now we've got the 2 low-end ones that are a little weird, but it's not weird if it wins. Dave Montgomery, over 8.5 receiving yards, as the Bucs allowed the 10th fewest adjusted yards before contact, 3rd fewest rushing yards per game, but the 3rd most receiving yards per game at 55. Certainly Jahmyr Gibbs is in play, but these guys both got it done in the passing game in this matchup last year. Gibbs 7 grabs for 57. I believe the grinder and I were in on that. But Monty, and I remember being annoyed by it because he had 4 for 35 himself. So I like him to get 9 damn yards in this one. Then how about this one? This is a little weird. Isaac Tesla over 9.5. Don't look now, but the Bucs are allowing the most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lined up on the right side, which is where Tesla lines up. He has the 2 highest snap shares of the season last 2 weeks, 34 and 46%. So I think he's going to make a play often against Zion McCollum, who's given up a generous 0.37 fantasy points per route run, which brings us to the Monday night special. Don't forget to stay tuned, though. After we sign off, it's Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Keith Azari at 2 p.m. Eastern, followed by Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard with Follow the Money and VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray and Matt Humans. I love Isaac Tesla. If I were to be blessed with the physical skills to play in the NFL, I would be like Tesla. That's what I was when I would play, big play guy. So we're going to go with a touchdown anytime for Tesla at plus 600. Really love the spot. He's due. And then for the other one, based on the schematic matchup and the good spot for Dalton Schultz, we'll go with a Dalton Schultz anytime touchdown at plus 320. Good luck with all the plays tonight and the action, and we'll catch you mañana for another edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.